Blog Talk Radio.
You are now tuned into Kings of Non Sequitur. Any topic, any subject, anything goes. With your hosts, Jay and Dre. Hello, hello, welcome in. Hardball is on the horizon. It's only a couple of days away until we actually have real baseball, although the Dodgers and Padres started playing real baseball last week, and then they stopped to go back to exhibition, and now they're back to playing real baseball. If you're confused, it's okay. It's weird. It's crazy. So two games have counted, and the rest of them, they actually count, will start tomorrow. But we're here to preview the entire season, minus those two games. This is Kings of Non Sequitur, the off-season version of In Much Less Detail, the podcast, here with you on a Tuesday night, March the 26th, 2024. I'm Dre, he's Jay, and great news, we're connected, I think. Are you still there?
I think so.
Good. We actually made it on and didn't have to wait for complete silence for one of us to connect, as we've had to do the last couple of shows, so that's a good thing. I hope you're ready for a lot of baseball talk. Two full hours. Our baseball preview is always long. It's always fun. It's always chock full of not necessarily information, but we love baseball and we love to talk it. And we always like to say right off the bat, it's baseball. It's a 162-game season. Take none of these predictions all that seriously, because so many teams change their personnel so much during the season between injuries and the trade deadline and calling up superstars, future superstars, and that type of thing. It is the most turnover of the rosters during a season from the beginning of the season to the end. I think you agree, Jason, of all the major sports, baseball has the most turnover of all of them.
It does. You know, and we do this show and then we do, of course, our football preview. The tricky part with football that we don't have with baseball. See, with baseball, you can eliminate, you know, 18 to 20 teams right now or pretty close to it. It has sort of unlocked it. You know, there's parity. There's the salary cap. There's, you know, the reload with free agency and the draft. With baseball, it's such a different economic state, where you can, unless somebody really pulls a rabbit out of a hat, you can look at a whole bunch of teams and go, well, they're not in it this year, or this is their rebuilding year, or, you know, you can see the teams that are going for it, you know the teams that aren't, and it's that middle where somebody like, you know, hey, like the Rangers last year,
or the
Diamondbacks, you know, so those middle teams can make the push, and somebody can come out of nowhere, but you can also take half the league right now and say, yeah, the A's aren't going anywhere. And,
yeah,
you know, right. The Rockies aren't
Pirates,
good.
Yeah.
Right. You know, and it doesn't mean that these teams are all bad or there's nothing positive that we can say about them. But, you know, you see the teams, some of them, they build the right way. Right. We've seen this with the Cubs in the last decade and the Astros and their run. We see the Orioles doing it right now. So you see these teams that have got this sort of like code unlocked, where they've got this massive, you know, just bevy of talent in their farm system, and they pull up these guys and it's just guy after guy and they all hit. It's not easy to do. A lot of teams are trying to copy it, but those are sort of the things that you need to have happen right now. And then you have teams that just try to buy titles. You know, you've got the Yankees and the Dodgers and the teams like that. So very interesting the way that it's set up in baseball. I'm not sure which one I like better. But baseball, yeah, you're right. It's a long season. There's going to be people that get called up. There's going to be injuries. You know, things that look great one day, and all of a sudden, within a week, you got, you know, your two best pitchers blow their arms out, and they're sitting on, they're getting TJ, and yeah, baseball, it is a 6-month slog to get there.
Yeah, it can be, but I know which way I like better. You need a pipeline. You cannot, I think it's pretty clear,
yes,
by now, you cannot buy a title. So you have to, it hurts, but you have to tear it down, and you have to find a way to build it back up the right way. I think that's the only way to do it, personally. That's just
I have an affinity for teams that do it that way.
I'm sure you do.
Well, I'm just saying that, you know, uh-huh, you like to see it. I got to witness it. But we, like I said, we saw it with the Cubs. We saw it with the Astros. If you're not admiring what the Orioles are doing right now, you're not a fan of baseball.
That's for sure. Yeah, they're definitely doing it the right way.
And there's other teams that are trying to do this too. The Reds are trying to do it. The Pirates, and to some extent, you talked about the Pirates, but they're trying to do it. Then you have teams that try to do it and fail.
Right.
I don't want to bag on your White Sox, but that's a big example right there. We saw the Red Sox do it twice, right, where they, you know, won the World Series, broke it down, and then retooled again, and then went on another run. And then, of course, those were Theo Epstein teams, and then he goes to Chicago and takes that same formula and then unlocks that town. And so it's not always a success. It's not easy to get all these prospects to hit. But it's fun when it happens.
It's not always a success, but clearly the key, hire Theo Epstein. I think that's just right off the bat.
Well,
if you can find Theo Epstein and hire him, that'll guarantee that it works.
So
We know that if we have a sports show right at the beginning, we know that somebody is always ready to join in and give his opinions about it. So on our baseball preview show, it's the one and only Lou in Jersey. What's up, Lou?
Evening, fellas. Well, I'll put it to you in two words. Play ball.
Yeah, let's go.
Yeah. Even if you were, whether you're a Tommy fan or not. Oh boy. Yeah, he's in hot water now, isn't he? Just when you think everything was all said and done, you know, he signed a contract with, you know, with the Dodgers, and then this happens. I mean, 400, I mean, you know, that's a lot of money that, you know, to go through. And, you know, how did he not know that his translator slash partner didn't know he was, you know, doing all this? I mean, really?
Yeah,
boy,
you're right.
You can't trust anybody these days. I mean, you're a translator.
That's right. It was so obvious. I would have bet something like that would have happened.
Hey, hey!
Yeah. Thanks.
You know, it's one of those things that I think everyone thought that this was going to be some harbinger of a bigger issue. I made light of it, you know, in titling the show. But I think people almost got the signals sent off in their head that, uh-oh, here comes the next Pete Rose. Here comes some sort of situation.
Pete Rose part two?
Uh-huh. Where, oh, this guy's doing all this betting through his interpreter, and his interpreter is backing him up and taking a fall for him. And I'll tell you what, Blue, I guess I'm very cynical. Even if that is what was happening, I actually don't think that was. But even if it was, Shohei is such a big star. Even bigger, I think, than Pete Rose back then. As great as big as Pete Rose was back then, this is worldwide. Shohei is known everywhere, all around the globe. The baseball is not going to let this man take the fall. Whoever the interpreter is, Ipe, whatever his name is, was always going to be the fall. No matter what's actually happening, maybe he is the guy stealing all this money out of Shohei's account and he didn't know it. Or maybe Shohei is taking care of his own gambling debt. But whatever the deal is, Shohei is going to come out of this clean. He's going to smell clean as a daisy at the end of the day, no matter what the real truth is here.
Well, no, put it this way. Show me the money.
Show him the money. Or take his money out of his account.
Hey, hey!
Right.
I'll give you one as well. There you go.
I thought I did the joke, not him.
So What do you see on the horizon for the actual season? Who do you think is going to go all the way?
Well, I think it's too soon to tell. I think we'll start with who's not going to be involved. Probably I would have to say the A's having a terrible season. The Tigers, I don't see them doing anywhere. Oh boy, my partner's going to kill me. Padres, I don't see it much either. And the Mets, who had a fall from grace last season, I don't think they're going to bounce back so easily. In the American League East, I think it's going to be, you know, I think the Yankees are going to have a bounce back year. The AL Central, forget it, because they're just a trash heap of the divisions anyway. So, you know, I mean, let's put it this way. Five teams in the division or whatever it is, they're all going to be below 500 anyway. That division is trash. So don't even get me started with that. Oof.
That's a good call.
Braves should do well. Dodgers, I think, should take the National League West. And, of course, who is the only team that could beat the Dodgers? Simple. The Dodgers themselves.
Yeah, that's how they usually go every year. It seems like they're the only ones that can beat them themselves, and they wind up beating themselves somehow.
Yeah, that's the problem, though.
Yeah.
But, there was one other thing that was mentioned. Just turning to the NBA for a minute. You know, every year we seem to see the Clippers get into the postseason. They do so well in the regular season, they'll get second or third in the conference or whatever. But then when it comes playoff time, choke.
Sure.
I mean, are they cursed? I mean, they just have that kind of bad luck every year. Are they just cursed? Or what is it? Because, you know, they don't have a good playoff record. And they haven't since they were probably in San Diego or Buffalo. I mean, what is wrong with the Clippers?
Yeah, at this point, they're the Clippers. That's pretty much the only answer you can give is they're the Clippers. Some teams,
yeah,
this is just
so.
Yeah, they're just destined to have this happen all the time. But I tell you what, bringing it back to baseball, you would say about the Texas Rangers every year, they're the Rangers. So they came through last year. So, you know, if the Rangers can win the World Series, anything is possible as far as I'm concerned.
And they can beat a bunch of cheaters like their American counterpart, the Astros. I guess, you know, I guess they can do it. Oh, boy.
I don't see any garbage cans around anywhere. I think we're good.
I just heard a trash can from my house.
Stop it.
Oh.
All right, go ahead and plug your show.
Okay, it's called the Astro Trash. No. the Enhanced Sports Show, Saturdays, 4 to 6 p.m. That's East Coast time, people, East Coast time. And once again, do not look for it on Blog Talk Radio because you will not find it there. So that's why probably people forget to call. The number is 512-543-4662. We'll review the first couple of days of the official start of the MLB season. We'll keep on going with the NHL and NBA regular season as we count down the towards the conclusion of that. The men's and women's basketball tournament. Yeah, I have been kind of seeing the women's this year, but remember, there's also another good player besides Caitlin Clark in the women's division. Her name is Paige Beckers, or Bugers, as the case may be. She's a star at UConn, so I'm keeping my eye on her as well. Also have our – mostly going to do some Special Olympics covers this week because I have some friends of mine who compete in that. We'll also have your thoughts and comments this week in sports history, the Rodrigo Sign of the Week, and – because it's that week, I'll take anybody with any Easter thoughts, since it is the day before Easter. Normally, I don't do a show that week, but because we're involved in the tournament for basketball, I said, oh, why not? I'll do it anyway. So, just remind you that we will be on 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time this Saturday, March 30th, 4 to 6 p.m. Number is 512-543-4662.
There you go. Show before Easter. That's a real sports fan. Lou, thank you.
If we weren't doing the basketball championships, I wouldn't do it this week.
All right. That is the one and only Lou in Jersey.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. Always an interesting start to the show when Lou comes on.
Yeah. It was extra special today.
All right, with all of that out of the way, we will get to our actual baseball preview. The only couple of rule changes that I saw for this year were all really minor. If you saw something more that I've missed, let me know. But it looks like there's going to be a shorter shot clock, play clock in certain situations, like with men on base and whatnot. They widened the lane at first base, which is probably overdue. That thing's always been a source of controversy.
Yeah.
And they shortened the mound visits per game from 5 to 4. That's about all I saw.
Yeah, I'm okay with the lack of drastic changes because we've been through that.
Had a lot of changes lately, yeah.
That'll be football this year. We'll talk about that when we get towards football season with all the things that they're doing. So,
rugby kickoff.
Yeah. Yeah, tackling is illegal now. And and the XFL kickoff is now coming to football. But no, this is a baseball show tonight, so we got to get
That's
this
right.
preview and, you know, try to have some of our geniusness. Don't know how much we hit last year, but it's like you said, boy, but we are not opposed with this preview to revisit it at any point during the season to amend our thoughts.
I mean, there's a lot that has to be amended, depending on what happens. When you got Lou was just talking about, like, we'll get to the Yankees later on, that he likes the Yankees resurgence, and I kind of liked it, too, until I – you know, heard that Garrett Cole might be down for the first 2 months of the year. So I was like, maybe not
but
so
we'll,
much.
We'll have to, but we'll be getting to that division eventually. But I believe we are starting with the champs.
That we are. As is our longstanding tradition and season preview shows, we always start with the division of the actual defending champs. So how did we do it last year? We kind of gave our order.
We gave the order, and then we just went through and we discussed amongst ourselves, and we gave our kind of, you know, just back and forth thoughts on the teams and, you know, hit where we need to hit. And some of these, like, I don't know how much we're going to have to talk about the A's, but, hey, sometimes that's the biggest discussion point for us is the bad team. So we'll just see how it goes. But, yeah, I think we just give our 1 through 5. If there are any wild cards and, you know, where we really disagree with each other. And sometimes, if anybody who listened to this show 3-4 years ago, we agreed on, I think, everything.
Literally every team, we had the same order in some of these divisions, yeah.
I think we had the exact same playoffs, except for maybe we had the winner of the division and the wild card maybe flip-flopped. But
right.
I'm hoping it's not that. But that's what I mean. It's sometimes with baseball, it's that easy because you can just write off so many teams. Now,
exactly,
I did not have the Rangers and the Diamondbacks last. I don't think you did
either.
But
no, hell no.
And that's where you can get into October, and, you know, and these things can happen. People can get hot, guys can get called up, and got with the expanded playoff rosters now, and then the expanded, I mean, playoff roster of teams,
yeah.
All you got to do is just get in, right? Get in, get hot.
Exactly. We've seen it so much in football. Just get in the playoffs and go on that run. So, American League West, your 1 through 5.
My 1 through 5. Well, I mean, this is the division where I just don't know how to quit you. I'm talking about the Seattle Mariners.
Again with
They're
Seattle?
They're my number one. Seattle Mariners. I'm going Mariners, Astros, Rangers, Angels, A's. That's my order for the AL West. I'm sure you're going to want to hear my thoughts on a couple of those, but I'll let you give your order. And I do have the Astros as a wild card out of and the Rangers. So I have 3 teams.
Oh.
So there you go. I have the top 3 teams in the AL West making the playoffs this year. Mariners, Astros, Rangers, Angels, A's. Top heavy.
That was almost an upset that you almost had the defending champs out of the playoffs this year. But you do have them as a wild card, so that's good. I have the Astros back at 1, the Rangers at 2, the Mariners at 3, the A's at the Angels at 4. I'm sorry. I saw A for Angels and said A's. And, of course, the A's at 5. Nobody in their right mind has the A's anywhere other than 5.
The A's
do have
might be lucky to win 50 games, 55 games, right?
And I do have the Rangers as a wild card.
The A's don't even have a home, as far as we know.
Exactly. Nobody wants them. Vegas doesn't want them. Sacramento doesn't want them. Oakland doesn't want them. A's, you know what? as terrible as they were in 2022, and I made fun. I got my notes from last year, so I was looking at that and sort of comparing a little bit when I was doing this. I was making fun of their minus 202 run differential, which was worse than the American League in 2022. They were minus 339 last year. That's 137 worse than in 2022. They are horrible.
Yeah, there's the cupboard. The cupboard's pretty bare. That's a lot of quad A guys.
I called it a nice triple A lineup. I didn't even say quad A.
It's bad.
That's a real nice lineup for the minor leagues.
There's there's what you're getting from us about the Oakland A's, folks. Or
there
it is. Wherever A's.
And they don't even know what they want to do with Mason Miller. So there you go.
I have a feeling Mason Miller is going to be their closer.
Are they smart enough to do that?
I don't know if they're smart enough to do that, but if he clearly can't start. He's not quite a five and dive guy, and he's not exactly going to give you many starts if you let him because he's so fragile.
I got them so stupid to use him as an opener, to have him go like the first two and then sit out. Like that sounds like something the A's would do.
That does sound like something. You have him pitch two innings every 5 days.
Officially talked more about the A's than we should have.
Yeah, put him at the back end. Put him in the eighth, ninth inning and let him go out there and throw his gas. But I mean, how many games are you going to save anyways?
Exactly. So we both have the Angels at four. The show is over. Poor Shohei's. He's out. Mike Trout's last chance to perform in the World Series is out. As far as I'm concerned, I thought if they were ever going to make a run, it would be with Shohei and Trout. Now Shohei's gone. A lot of try-hard guys in their lineup, but not enough. Not enough for them to make any kind of serious run.
No, you take I expect – I don't – what did they win last year? They did not have a good season last year.
No.
I expect them to be better this year than last year because the sideshow is over. I've not been a fan of the sideshow. I'm a fan of the player, and of course I'm talking about Shohei Ohtani, the sideshow Shohei. And it's a different type of sideshow this year.
Hmm.
But I have some interesting thoughts about that when we get to the Dodgers. I didn't like the jerking back and forth, what it was doing. Even though it's a bad rotation, there's some sneaky quality in that rotation. I think now that these guys can settle into spots and not have to worry about the sideshow. Offensively, they're meh, This is still probably a 75-win team would be my guess, which is sad because we are going to waste. We are wasting a generational talent in Mike Trout.
So we continue to. They only won 73 last year, by the way.
73. So, 75, that's a bump.
okay.
Yeah, but... Trout's still going to – I guess he's going down with the ship. Would you believe he's been in the league 12 years?
Yeah, it seems like he just got there and already a 12-year veteran. I could definitely believe his fortunes have definitely waned just because in my fantasy league last night, I drafted Mike Trout in like the fifth round. Absolutely
the fifth
unheard
round,
of.
The guy used the
number one every
pick.
Year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So – definitely his fortunes have fallen off.
Not a lot going on with the Angels. I don't think they're going to contend or we're really surprised.
So here's where we get interesting, where you have the Mariners at one and I have them at three. I'll tell you about why I have them at three, and then you can tell them about why you have them number one.
Then I can tell you why you're wrong.
Okay. Future MVP Julio Rodriguez. I love him. I'm not going to act like they're bad or he's bad or anything like that. He's going to get some help from Jorge Polanco, but it's more or less Julio or bust still in that lineup. That's why I don't really like them. If Julio doesn't get off, they're kind of flat. Those young arms will win a lot of close games. It's one of my favorite rotations in the league. I just heard about Brian Wu being hurt earlier today, but that doesn't really change too much. I don't think he's out for the year or anything like that.
No.
But it's going to be a lot of 3-2 wins, a lot of 4-2. That offense just doesn't do it for me at all. If Julio Rodriguez is somehow held down, if they walk him three times and say the rest of you guys beat us, I don't have much trust in, you know, Cal Raleigh and the rest of that lineup to really do much for the Mariners. So that's why I downgrade him.
No, you had the part that I love the most, which is I love this starting five.
Sure.
For the Seattle Mariners. And it might be, I mean, top to bottom, that might be the best starting five. We still don't know what's going on with Brian Wu, but everything just says it's minor elbow inflammation, and they expect him back within a few weeks. You know, everything was clean, MRI and all that. So it could just be, you know, that spring dead arm that you hear about a lot, and guy just needs a little bit of extra time, you know, to build up or some extended spring training. But, yeah, Castillo, Kirby, Gilbert, Bryce Miller, Brian Wu, 1 through 5, that's elite. That is an elite pitching staff. We like to use that word elite when we talk in football terms about certain stats and things. But, yeah, those guys are all the goods. And if that rotation
stays healthy. And I even love
their
closer Munoz.
Their
back
end,
always,
yeah, no,
their
pitching is their strength. I wish they had done more to solidify my pick here of them in the offseason in free agency to improve that lineup. It is kind of Julio Rodriguez and guys, but they're not. There's worse guys. Trust me. There's worse lineups. It's one of these sort of spread even lineups when you look at it, where there's power. You know, they have, like you said, they have Julio Rodriguez, Polanco's there, but you have Mitch Garver is his full time DH. Doesn't have to worry about catching. Every once in a while, maybe he'll catch, but his problem has been health. They're just going to have him be the full-time DH. Cal Raleigh is a 25 to 30 homer guy. They brought Mitch Haniger home. Maybe he relights the fire. I don't hate this lineup. The bottom of most lineups is pretty bad, so there's nothing exciting for me at the bottom of this lineup. But 1 through 6, 1 through 7, not terrible. And I think that you're right. They're going to win a lot of games on the strength of those arms. And, you know, you get to play the Angels and the A's a whole lot. That helps.
Sure, sure. I don't think they're going to be under 500 or anything like that. But I just got them third in this division.
So you don't have them being bad. You just have we just have them sort of flip. I have all three of the teams in that division at the top making the playoffs. So not that I hate them either.
Right. So did you have Texas 2 or Houston?
I had Texas.
Houston 3? Okay, Houston 2 and Texas. Okay. So we're not off too much because I got Houston 1. We can cover Texas, who I have 2, and actually, and you have them making the playoffs. So we both had Texas making the playoffs.
Yeah.
Just the order of the division is a little different. But, yeah, the Rangers, wow. What an explosion into the big stage by them. To win the World Series, there's a lot to like there. They got so many young guys in that lineup. Evan Carter, of course, supposed to be a future star, and he decides to be a current star in the World Series. Wyatt Langford just got drafted, you know, a day ago, and now he's in the starting lineup. They got big name starting pitchers hurt already. I don't like the starting pitching depth behind those guys, and that's why I have the Rangers second.
No, and I'm with you there. And, you know, and the thing is with all these young guys, and they definitely have high expectations. And there's other young – this is a very young team. You know, Evan Carter, Adolis Garcia hasn't been around that long. Josh Jung, he's only been there a year. And Wyatt Langford is the prodigy who earns himself a spot on the team right out of the gate. Doesn't have to go down to the minors. They're not playing around with his service time. They're just going to bring him right up with them. They're not all going to pan out right away. They'll have some fits and starts, you know. That's where I worry a little bit about this young middle of this lineup. Is just that sometimes those bats can go pretty quiet. And they don't have the pitching to avoid what you're going to go through with some of the growing pains from some of these younger teams. Because once you get out of the you know, top two guys in that lineup, but to get past Simeon and Seager, that's a very young team. And they're going to have some droughts offensively this year. And, yeah, the pitching, the health, I think it kind of hamstrings them. That wasn't even a joke.
That's after DeGrom comes back.
Correct. But I think there's enough talent there. You know, you get DeGrom back. I don't know what they're planning on getting out of Scherzer or when he's planning on coming back.
Whatever they can.
Back surgery, though? Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, these older guys, and Jacob DeGrom, though, he had his TJ back in June of last year. So he's out into the summer, would be my guess.
Right, we'll see him in July, maybe.
Yeah, July, August. You know how these guys, they come back from these things. So not enough pitching there. There's some depth in the system if they need to make some deals to go after some pitching. They did not bring Jordan Montgomery back. He just signed today with the D-backs.
Yep.
So they didn't bring him back. So that's where I've got them being held down a little bit. Like the youth movement, I think they're still going to be really good. Still have them as a wild card, but I don't have them winning the division.
And Houston, you have behind Seattle.
Yeah, and I like Houston. Again, we talk about the teams other than the cheating. Talk about the teams that do it the right way. Solid rotation, solid top of their rotation. We'll see if Hunter Brown can have some post-hype success this year. But that lineup is really good. So they're definitely going to mash. Nothing against them. I just love the pitching a little bit more on the Mariners. I could see them, the Astros, and the Rangers all finishing within 3 to 5 games at the top of this division. They're all going to win a lot of games this year.
Yeah, I think they all are going to be within that close range of each other, too. The Astros, I guess I just got them at one. It's just an ass-kicking lineup that it feels like can be even better, like a full year of Yordan Alvarez, who was battling injuries last year. Alex Bregman can be frustrating as hell. He's so inconsistent, but when he's on, he's really on. And, of course, Kyle Tucker is fucking awesome.
And Jose Abreu's got to be better than he was last year, right?
Well, he's on the other side of his career, so we don't know how much we're going to get from him. But they have other guys behind him. Chaz McCormick had some flashes last year. Yainer Diaz, the young catcher. So they still got bats. They need fill-ins at starting pitcher. Obviously, we talked about we talked about Scherzer with the Rangers, Verlander with the Astros, same thing. They gotta see what they can squeeze out of him, Jose Urquidy and his elbow. But they got depth. You talked about Hunter Brown, kid JP France, and a big deal is getting Josh Hader in the back end. Like, that's massive. As much as I respected their closer, it's late, so his name is escaping me at the moment. But he was good, but he had his moments where he was very frustrating as well. So that's why they went out and got Josh Hader. And now they don't have to deal with that former closer. They can deal with Hader, and they can bump him to a setup, which is pretty much where he belongs.
That was Ryan Presley.
Presley, that's the guy. Yeah, very, very frustrating. All right. For odds, I had the BetMGM page up, but they have so many season prop bets that you have to scroll through just to get down to the division. It's so crazy. I don't give a damn about who I think is going to finish with 20-plus homers and all. They got so many of those. So eventually I'll get all the way down to the actual divisions and read the longest winning streak of the season for each team, all 32 of them. I got to scroll through that just to get down to the divisions. It's so stupid.
I'm guessing the A's are at about 4.5.
Each team's stage of elimination. I got to scroll through that to get to the divisions.
Wow.
Most regular season wins. Okay. I had it up earlier and then the page refreshed. That's why I got to scroll through it. Okay. I finally have gotten to the divisions. American League West. A's plus 25,000 to win the American League West.
Hey, if you got a hundy burning a hole in your pocket.
Go ahead and put it on them, and that'll be your whole year's gambling if you win that bet for sure. Angels plus 5,000, Mariners plus 280. So that's a deal for you. You really believe in Seattle. Rangers plus 225. Astros, the prohibitive favorite, minus 110 to win the American League West.
Okay.
From there, let's go to the AL Central. Your AL Central, 1 through 5.
All right, AL Central. I'm going Twins, Royals, Tigers, Cleveland Baseball Club, and your Chicago White Sox pulling up the rear.
Royals at second, would that be a playoff spot for them?
It will not.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, that's a surprise for me because I got the Royals fourth. Definitely have to talk about that. I am going with the Twins at one along with you. I'm going with the Guardians, dumb name, two. Tigers, three. Royals, four. White Sox, five. And I do have the Cleveland Guardians making the playoffs.
Okay. So one thing we both – well, we agree at the – we agree at 1, 3, and five. We just have our 2 and 4 switch. So any words about your Chicago White Sox since they're pulling up the rear?
It was great to see Luis Robert emerge last year. Had a hell of a season. The pitching depth liquefied overnight. That's why they're last. I mean,
they went from having the best, one of the best. I said last year on the show, I thought they had one of the best starting, if not the best starting fives. Poof.
Gone.
Wow. Your starting day, your opening day starter, Garrett Crochet.
Never made a major league start in his life. Yeah, take the ball opening day, kid. Go get him. No pressure.
That rotation is absolute trash.
It's going to be a long year on the south side. Long, long year.
Yeah, and I don't know who's coming. Who's going to come in to help? You know, Michael Kopech is going to get the Mason Miller treatment, it sounds like.
Right. You can't rely on him. They've given him every chance in the rotation, and he's proven that he just doesn't have it mentally. He cannot be a starter in the major leagues. It's unfortunate.
So he gets jettisoned to the bullpen, and that is one of the after him. If let's say he's the guy, it's committee, it's closer by committee as far as I'm concerned for the Chicago White Sox right now, and somebody's gonna step up there to get some saves. But again, I don't think their A's bad, but they're bad.
Right. I don't care. It doesn't matter who the closer is because they're not winning. So it's.
Right.
I like when they went out and got Liam Hendricks, who was the best free agent closer at the time, for a team that looked like they were contending. That was a great move. Poor guy got cancer. It didn't work out. Shit happens. So, that's about all I got to say about the Sox.
And all their prospects are hitting prospects.
Yeah, I don't think they have too
much
minor league depth for pitching. Unless,
who's this? Kid, I think he's the shortstop. You know, maybe he can pitch.
I forget his name,
Colson,
too. But yeah, he's
Zach Colson Montgomery.
Montgomery, right?
Yeah, maybe they can convert him into a pitcher. Well, we've seen, you know.
Yeah, if he's any good, it's going to be still on the horizon. Still a ways off for him.
So I guess the question would then be, since you have them fourth and I have them second, let's talk about the Kansas City Royals. I think the Royals are going to be sneaky good this year. I like their. You're not going to hear this, and maybe you got to keep. You know, you got to choke back something. But I like their rotation. I don't hate the acquisitions of Seth Lugo and Michael Wacha. Cole Reagans came up last year, looked really good. It's a bad division. So I don't have any of these other teams outside the Twins making the playoffs, which means that there's that. I've got this mix of Royals, Tigers, and Guardians just all kind of jumbled together. These are probably all around 500 teams, if I had to guess. But I think there's enough going on offensively with the Royals. Bobby Witt, great player. They're getting Vinny Pascatino back. Sal Perez. They've gotten MJ Melendez out into the outfield. He's a good hitter. I don't hate this Royals team. I think they will surprise. I don't think they're going to be an easy out for anybody, you know. They're gonna contend, and I don't hate this rotation.
But you don't have them in the playoffs.
I don't. I don't have any team outside the Twins in the playoffs. So at this point, we're just talking about seeding. But that's my thoughts on the Kansas City Royals.
Okay. Fair enough. The Royals gave up 859 runs last year. Only Oakland gave up more runs than the Kansas City Royals.
Yep.
Yeah, they got some additions at pitching, but I'm not impressed with Seth Lugo and Michael Wacha. They both have seen better days. Cole Reagans looks great, but he can't pitch every day. That's their problem. If they could have Cole Reagans every day instead of every fifth day, that'd be a different story. But since he has to sit for 4 days and they have to get all these other pieces of garbage behind him, Brady Singer and all these guys, I got no use for pretty much anyone behind Reagans in the rotation. So that's why I got the Royals fourth, is I don't respect their pitching nearly as much as you do outside of Reagans.
That's okay. We both have the Tigers third.
Yep.
And I think there's actual, you know, blue skies ahead. There's a light at the end of the tunnel for the Tigers.
It's not a train?
It's not a train. It's actual blue sky and light at the end of the tunnel. It's just I think that this is maybe a year too soon, so that's why I'm not picking them to do better than they are. Not terrible in the rotation. Good young hitters on their way up. You got Parker Meadows, Colt Keith, you know, Torkelson. It feels like Spencer Torkelson's been in the bigs for 5 years. He hasn't. you know, we really haven't seen the best, maybe we never will, of Riley Green, but maybe, you know. But you still got guys out there like Javier Baez who couldn't hit the ball if he had an oar. and it's pretty sad. So there's still some gaps there. In that lineup, but I think that there's good things ahead for the Tigers.
Okay, and I do like Riley Green. I think he showed that he's coming along last year, and Torkelson. I think there's a light at the end of the tunnel too for them. I think that could be a dangerous 3-4 piece of the lineup in the future, maybe starting this year. They still need more offense around them. You mentioned Baez. I think that's a zero. As much as I love him, I think his motivation seems to be gone to get better.
He got his bag and now he's done.
Kind of going up there and swinging as hard as he can at every pitch, and if he misses by 2 feet, then so be it. And so I don't see that changing anytime soon. So they need more offense to be a real contender to me. Tarik Skubal could be an ace for them in their pitching staff.
Never sleep on my guy, Kerry Carpenter.
I should have drafted him.
Oh.
No. Then that might have ruined him. So
he's $2.
That's right. I did not draft Kerry Carpenter. If he goes down this year, don't blame me. I don't have him. Somebody else took him. There's another bright spot at the end of the tunnel for the Tigers. If they can keep Jackson Jovey healthy, he's looming as a potential second ace. In that rotation, he's going to be in the minors, but just keep him on the mound. His stuff is—I haven't seen him yet, but everything I read about him is he's going to be a thing. He's going to be a problem for everybody if they can just keep him on the mound.
That's just with all these pitchers. Just draft these guys and just give them TJ right away. You know,
before they even get hurt,
We don't care.
Jay, you cut out. Jay, if you can hear me, you cut out. You might have hit your microphone.
Most of them end up.
Hello?
Oh, yeah, most of them.
There you go.
Yeah, hello?
Okay, I can hear you now.
What happened there? I just.
You went away for 10 seconds.
Yeah, you said that my microphone cut out, and I was like, no, nothing. I didn't hit it. Usually if I get my hands flailing, sometimes I whack that thing, but I didn't this time.
Yeah.
But yeah, just give these guys all TJ. What was it? Tanaka was the only guy who managed to avoid it.
Right, he had to decrease his velocity by 3 miles an hour, but he stuck around. He didn't get the surgery, and we just kept waiting for him to get the surgery, but he managed to avoid it.
I don't want to hear about platelet-rich plasma injections. Just go get the Tommy John surgery, guys.
Just get it over with. That's what I'm afraid of for Cole, for Gerrit Cole, is that he's putting off the inevitable.
When we get to the Yankees, that is concerning, mm-hmm. because it feels like they wanted the 18th opinion. You know, we're just gonna go get opinions until somebody says you don't need surgery.
Hey,
we're gonna go with that one.
Sometimes life does that to you, where you got to hear what you need to hear. So you're just gonna go around to everybody, until you hear what you need to hear to keep going. You know,
they took him to the elbow face healer.
They laid hands on him and said, "This is going to heal now." they certainly hope so. Anyway.
Cleveland.
You have Cleveland
Baseball Club. I don't like them, but you can tell me why you do.
They're the kings of hit tool. They are the absolute kings of hit tool. They just hit. They returned all those elite contact hitters. I know they don't have a whole lot of power, but they just keep hitting.
Yeah.
I just don't think it's enough to get past the Twins, but they will not stop hitting. They just keep getting on base and keep making contact. And it would be fun if Daniel Espino can work into a solid rotation. But the guys that are there, I like a lot. I like Shane Bieber. I like the kid that came up last year and made a name for himself. I think they got some depth in the rotation. They got enough to the Mariners. They'll win a lot of 2-1, 4-3 type games.
So they had the three young guys all come up last year. They had Bybee, Gavin Williams, and Logan Allen all came up, all contributed. Bybee looks to be, although Gavin Williams looked really good too. Uh-oh, but guess what?
And he's hurt.
Elbow discomfort. So I guess he's going to the Gerrit Cole faith healer.
Somebody lay hands on Gavin Williams, quick.
I had Logan Allen on my fantasy team last year as a free agent. Loved having him on my team. Just did not love the fact that he'd have 85 pitches through four innings every game, and he just couldn't put guys away. So he had a lot of 4 2/3 starts, which are, if you play fantasy, you don't, especially if you're winning like 5-1, you do not want to see your starter get pulled at 4 2/3. But they're going to do that when you've got 112 pitches, after 14 outs. So I don't like the offense. I know you like the hit tool, and they've got that fleas feeling to them, that like the Royals, but there's just, where's the power? Jose Ramirez, okay, yeah, he's got some. They had a kid who hit 6 home runs in spring training, and they sent him down because they asked, I don't know what they're doing, because they like them some Esteban Florial and Will Brennan. Okay.
Ramon Laureano.
Yeah, so they sent down their two of their best prospects, Kyle Manzardo, that they traded for from Tampa, and this Chase DeLauder. I don't know if you heard about him during the spring, what he was doing. The Guardians, the team with no power. Yeah, we don't need those guys. Now, these guys will be up.
Yeah,
they'll
play.
They just don't. I just worry that when you see teams do that, that they don't know what they're doing. And that's where I worry about this Guardians team. So that's why I have them fourth.
Okay.
But at the Twins, we agree on that. This one's easy.
Easy. I don't know if they're going to dominate.
In this division.
Although
best rotation in the division.
Contending with the with Cleveland for best rotation.
Yeah. But they have a bona fide ace, and really good guys lining up behind him. And, and then the 9 starts that they'll probably get out of Chris Paddock.
My concern is you don't rely too much on Byron Buxton. If you're relying on Byron Buxton, that's a fool's errand.
Or,
you already know.
Or Royce Lewis.
Yeah. You already know Buxton's going to miss significant time. They're going to hide him and protect him as much as they can and put him a DH here. He's still going to get hurt. It doesn't matter. There's a lot of depth to the lineup, though. That's why I got him one. They can overcome when Buxton does get hurt. They got plenty of hitters, good mix of sluggers and hitters. Not quite as home run happy as they used to be, but they're still very powerful. The rotation is also deep. Yeah, I like those guys a lot, Pablo Lopez and Joey Ryan and Bailey Ober. You mentioned Paddock. That's chock full of strikeouts. A lot of Ks in that rotation. Your guy, Joan Duran, he's a little banged up, but I don't think that's anything too serious.
It's an oblique, so it wasn't an elbow. There's no faith healers coming. So
He won't be out till July or anything like that.
No, I would expect him back by probably May 1st.
Right.
And that's an elite bullpen once you add him back into the mix as well.
Mm-hmm. So, we like the Twins. I don't know if we love them or not. BetMGM has them as the favorite to win the division, so we're in good company. Twins are minus 125. Then the Tigers are the second choice. So they're with you. The Tigers second?
Well, I had the Tigers third. I had the Royals second.
Ah, that's right.
But we both were kinder to the Tigers than probably. I think we were the kindest to the Tigers of any of the rest of the teams after the Twins. I wouldn't be shocked. I wouldn't be shocked. That BetMGM, I would not be shocked if the Tigers finished second.
It shocked me that they're the second pick money-wise because it's the Detroit Tigers.
Yeah.
But they're real close with Cleveland, plus Detroit plus 350, Cleveland plus 375. Then the Royals are the big value. If you really think they might make a run, they are plus 900 to win the AL Central.
Second?
I don't know. That's another page.
The White Sox aren't in A's territory, but I'm guessing that's going to pay a lot of money.
Plus 5,000 on the Chicago.
5,000, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not happening, folks.
No, it's not. All right, AL East action, which we keep talking around because we keep mentioning Garrett Cole and other people's projections.
Yeah.
Your AL East 1 through 5.
I surprised myself when I broke down this one. Orioles, Jays, Rays, Yankees, Red Sox.
See, you almost surprised yourself into the exact same order that I had. Because you said Rays and Jays, and I got and then you corrected yourself and said Jays and Rays, and Rays and Jays, and that's the only difference. So I got Baltimore, Tampa Bay, Toronto, New York, and Boston, and I do have Tampa winning a wild card spot.
And I have the Jays. So really, that's the only difference for us is I have Toronto second, where you have Tampa second, and we both have them making a wild card run.
We both got the Yankees and Sox bringing up the rear.
We both had the Yankees in four. Red Sox. Just because I have them in last in this division, I don't think they're bad. I just think that this is probably overall top to bottom, 1 through 5, the best division in baseball, and they're just the worst team of the best division. I don't hate what they're doing. They're going to win a decent share of games. They're not going to just get rolled. The rotation is, it's guys. It's definitely guys. I mean, there are people that are high on Brian Bayo and Nick Pivetta and Cutter Crawford, and you know they've moved Garrett Whitlock up to the rotation. Tanner Houck is still there, although he to me is best served as a bullpen guy or a swing guy. But he's very Logan Allen-esque. He'll get
He's not going to go more than 3-4 innings a start.
No, he is the prototypical five and dive guy, right? If you get five, get him out. So I could a little bit worried about that rotation and how what they have, you know, for legs and the offense is okay. They'll hit a lot of guys that get on base. There's some good mix of power in that lineup. There's some good speed in that lineup, but they just happen to be, they could probably win the Central, but they're not winning the East.
No, I read the Red Sox the same as you, so I won't go on about it. It's just a bad omen that they get some starting pitching help in the form of Lucas Giolito, who immediately tears his ACL. Immediately.
That means Dylan Cease, you're next, buddy.
Oh, no. Oh, I did draft him, so please don't say that.
Oh, you drafted him because he's not on the White Sox, right?
Yes, I drafted him because he went to a very pitcher-friendly park, yes.
The Yankees, now, I will tell you, here's my prediction for the Yankees. The Yankees will either be on the right or wrong side of a lot of 9-7 games this year.
fireworks.
Because that offense is going to mash. Soto, Judge, Stanton. I mean, they're definitely going to be putting out the DVD of the moonshots that this team is going to hit this year. But the pitchers are going to be filling up highlight reels and DVDs of a lot of the other teams' highlights for this year. That rotation, minus Garrett Cole, not very good. There's guys there. I mean, there's guys with track record, right? Carlos Rodon, he used to be good, and we don't know how healthy he can stay. We'll see a Stroman, how he reacts to being on the Yankees, if that's going to be a good move for them. Stroman looked great last year in Chicago, but he also had the best middle infield for a ground ball pitcher to have. That Dansby Swanson and Nico Hoerner, they vacuum up everything up the middle.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're going to get that in New York. So we'll see.
Labor and Anthony Volpe up the middle?
I don't think that's Nico and Swanson, but we'll see.
Not quite the same class. Okay.
Yeah, and the bullpen's kind of there's no bona fide guy there as far as I'm concerned. I'm not a Clay Holmes guy. None of the other guys, that those setup guys, really scream closer to me if he falters. So I'm not too sold on the Yankees this year.
Yeah, Holmes is definitely a question mark. Massive ad in Juan Soto on the short porch.
Yep.
I can see him having a huge year. But, yeah, massive loss with Garrett Cole. They still don't know exactly what that is. Maybe they know and they're not telling us. But that's why I had to downgrade the Yankees. I probably would have had him third or maybe even second.
Yep.
But you take a guy fresh off his Cy Young year, out at least 2 months with some sort of nerve situation in his elbow. That doesn't sound good at all. I was considering them for a playoff run, but after that, it makes that big of a difference because of the, as you mentioned, the lack of depth in that rotation behind him. You don't know what the hell you're getting out of Rodon, who used to be one of the top prospects, and then he just kind of, almost like Alek Manoah, just kind of, lost and forgot how to pitch. And there's no chance, there's no knowing if he has a chance to get that back or not. So, and Nestor Cortes is, he's a fine number three, but right now he's the ace, and I don't think that's a good thing for the Yankees. So that's why I got him four.
Yeah. No, we're both down on the Yankees. So somebody get Lou in Jersey and let him know. you're higher on the Rays than I am. I have them third. You have them second. So what do you think about Tampa Bay?
I mean, you got to respect how they play. Who needs Wander Franco? We'll get rid of him. We'll just keep on rolling. At some point, they'll call up Junior Caminero this year, and they'll just keep on rolling. It's the Rays. They just know how to win. They know how to score. It's unreal how they just keep doing it, how they keep scoring. I don't know how they're going to manage, but they're going to. And what kind of scares me about them even more than the scoring and the lineup is they look like they have some starting pitching depth. It looks like they're not going to have to make their 4 and 5 starter bullpen days. They actually have pitchers to fill in those starting spots. So that's unusual for them.
They have a rotation, the
bullpen games. But now, if you get Eflin and Savali to start, and you can go with Zach Little and Brian Pepiot behind them, and if they don't work out, Shane Baz eventually will get another chance to start. Taj Bradley would have been in that rotation, but he got hurt. So when he comes back, they actually have starters instead of, 2-inning and 3-inning guys. So that's kind of scary. Like, how good can they be with actual starting length, which they don't usually have?
No, it's funny. The Rays injured starters right now. They're 5 injured starters, right? That we're starting on the season with Shane Baz, Taj Bradley, McClanahan, Rasmussen, and Springs. That's better than half the starting 5 in the league.
Yeah.
And those guys aren't there. And they still have managed to put together. But we talk about the Orioles and the Astros and the Cubs, and we talk about these teams and we appreciate the way that they put their teams together. Nobody puts their team together like the Rays. No team takes other teams' trash and just turns it into gold. Go, do yourself a favor. Go look at their roster resource page, right? And it shows you in the column here how they got these players. And when you actually look at their starting 25, 26, you know, the guys that are breaking camp and going to Tampa with this team.
Trade, waiver claim. waiver claim.
Are you looking at it?
No, but I already know.
Yeah. Yeah. Out of their start, all of these guys, one guy, Brandon Lau, was drafted by this team.
Right.
It's just trade, free agent, trade, waiver claims.
Yeah.
So nobody doesn't like the Rays, and you got to respect this because they don't have, it's not a big market. They don't have a lot of money. They don't throw around a lot of money, but they're always there.
Always.
And it's just like got to be so embarrassing because they're not just beating you. They're beating you with your cast-offs.
Right. They're beating you with Jose Siri and Randy Arozarena, who the Cards are probably still beat themselves up about letting them go. They're gonna make an All Star this year out of Itzhak Paredes because they keep
Zach Littell waiver claim.
Yep.
I love it. I love the way they do it. I have nothing bad to say about the Rays. However, I just think that Toronto is the San Diego of the American League.
That's not a compliment.
It's not. They have massively underplayed their potential, but they still have loads of potential. That is too much talent to underperform over and over and over. And at some point, they have to kind of put this together. I know it's not a good comp saying that they're the Padres of the American League, but they
that's
really
not good.
Well, am I wrong?
No, I definitely see the similarities, and that's why I got them third and making the playoffs.
Are you saying you have the Padres third and not making the playoffs?
Let's see. I probably have less than. I don't even have them third, but we'll get to that.
But that's just funny, though. Yeah. too much untapped potential and underwhelming play, but there's just so much talent there. And at some point, this talent has got to pay off. And I think there's enough weakness in the rest of this division that they can get themselves into a wild card berth.
Well, they might lose out by like a game to Tampa, so I don't think they're going to be like way back.
Yeah, they're not
anything like that.
I mean, we could have another situation where every team in this division is 500 or better.
Right. I just got them third because, like you said, all that potential that you keep waiting on these guys to gel and put it together, and hopefully Vladimir Guerrero gets back to what he was because he was an MVP candidate a couple years ago. Bo Bichette is an MVP candidate now, and George Springer is George Springer. So, yeah, all that potential in that lineup, and yet they keep falling short. They just keep finding a way to come up lame. I don't think Justin Turner is enough to push their offense past Tampa. Their closer's already hurt, Jordan Romano, but he shouldn't miss the whole month of April. So he should be back relatively soon. But
elbow inflammation.
It shouldn't. They're making it sound like it's minor.
Yeah. Well, and then his most likely replacement, Eric Swanson, forearm soreness.
Oh boy. So yeah, a lot to worry about in the Toronto pin there.
The back end of that bullpen for April might be wild.
And like I've mentioned before, poor Alec Manoah, who just forgot how to throw the baseball. He got the hips.
Who was the guy that most famous?
Rick Ankiel.
Yeah. He's not that bad, but
yeah, it's not hitting the backstop every pitch, but it's close to it.
Yeah. And he's hurt right now. So,
And he's hurt.
And any chance he had of coming back and, you know, giving himself, redemption arc here is going to be sort of delayed by injury right now.
Right shoulder soreness. That doesn't sound good either.
Well,
so yeah, that's
unless you're a lefty.
there is that, but he's not.
Oh,
so that's what we think of Toronto and Tampa. So we both are all over the surprise story from last year, the regular season last year, the Baltimore Orioles.
How can you not be? I mean,
yeah,
this team's so loaded, they sent Jackson Holliday down.
And they're so loaded, that almost seems like reasonable. Almost. It's not. We know it's service time bullshit, but that's how deep they are. It almost makes sense that
almost.
They send him down.
Almost.
Almost. That's pretty damn deep.
They're, and he's not the only guy. They've got two other prospects waiting. They have a good problem right now where they acquired the top free agent starter in Corbin Burnes, right? So he comes over. Grayson Rodriguez going into another season, like as his second season. Bradish got hurt. That I wasn't too excited about, but
yeah.
There's quality in the rotation. They got Craig Kimbrell and that Nyander Cano at the back end of the bullpen, and then that lineup is good. And my guess is by Memorial Day, it's amazing when they actually start calling up these guys, if they have room for these guys. But that's the nice position that you're in. If you're Baltimore, you can start moving some of these pieces and get even stronger. So that's where I think Baltimore, and that's why I have them in first place, because the version of this team later in the season is going to be even better than the version it is on paper right now, and it's really good.
No, I agree with all of that. Cedric Mullins has been a stalwart, and they're going to move him before the deadline and fortify whatever's missing, just because
they're
going to
call
up
Kobe Mayo or Heston Kjerstad and Jackson Holliday, and all those guys are going to probably be starters for them in the second half.
Right, and they're going to have to move these other guys to make room for them, Mullins and maybe Mountcastle and some of these other guys. Yeah.
Well, you can just look at their lineup and go, Mullins gone,
yeah,
Nolan Westbrook
gone,
yeah, Austin Hayes gone.
Oh man, that is a good problem to have. We got too many bats. Oh my God, we got to send these kids down. That's great.
Yeah.
And,
we need to go out and acquire another starter. And get ourselves an ace for the stretch run, and they're going to be able to do it.
It was already a go for it move to go get Corbin Burnes, because that's a stud. So they fortify that squad. Like I said, so flush with bats that it's almost believable that they had to send down Jackson Holliday. But it's complete bullshit.
Almost.
We all know.
He raked in the spring.
Yeah, he did anything, everything you asked him to. He did it. Too bad. Not enough. Go ahead. Go to the minors. Come on. All right.
Need you to work on some things.
It's Chris Bryant all over again. Well,
but they are. Yeah, this is the anti Wyatt Langford, right?
Right. Who did everything they asked him to, and then they actually kept him around. But yeah.
But no, we probably the most forceful agreeing we've done so far has been about the Baltimore Orioles.
I mean, I can't believe how all those guys came around last year, just all of them hit.
It would be shocking if we hadn't already seen it with a few other previous teams. That's why I brought them up when we talked about the Cubs and the Astros, the two most recent examples this last decade, and the Orioles are just another one.
Right, they just all of a sudden, they all come up and just decide to start bashing at the same time.
Yeah.
It's still amazing to see it, when it happens. I didn't see it coming last year, but all respect to them for now that they've done it. All respect to the Orioles, absolutely. All right, it's
that's
time to
the
move
American
on.
League
to the senior circuits.
Yes,
to the National League West. So, if I remember, I'll take all the first 1 through 5 since I made you do the American League. So my NL West 1 through 5, of course, Los Angeles at 1, Arizona 2. San Francisco 3, San Diego 4, not 3, and Colorado dead last. And I have one team coming out of that division in the playoffs, and that would be the Dodgers.
You're trying not to scare me? Is that what you're saying? Hi, buddy. Do you want to say something? Oh, okay, come here.
You didn't want to startle me again?
Hello.
Hey, buddy, how you doing? So you're gonna go down to Chicago this weekend with your daddy?
Yes.
Oh, good. Okay. I'll be flying up there, so I'll see you then.
Yay. I like turtles.
Let it be known officially that Cute Factor number 2 still likes turtles.
Still likes turtles. So you and I are almost 100% agreement. We only have one flip-flop here in this division, and that's at 2 and 3, where I have the Giants second and the Diamondbacks third. And other than that, we are kumbaya here. We both have the Padres 4, so the Blue Jays of the National League we have in fourth. And, of course, we have Colorado pulling up the rear. That just seems to be their home in this division.
Yeah.
And probably will be for some time. So I don't know if either one of us have many thoughts on the Colorado Rockies, because I sure don't.
They're not even trying to develop pitching anymore. You remember when they would try to have some kid come up and they would get up there and get absolutely destroyed in the thin air? They're not even trying. They don't have any real pitching prospects. The lineup is fine, but you know, just meh. But the pitching is so bad, and they're not even really trying anymore. Like, I think they're still burned from giving Mike Hampton all that money 25 years ago.
Yeah, there's a few guys, you know. There's some young guys, you know, Brenton Doyle, people are talking about. Ezekiel Tovar. There's some nice little pieces. Nolan Jones that they got from Cleveland. Boy, Cleveland couldn't have used that power at all. Oh, this is why I don't like Cleveland. They don't know what are you doing?
You've already hit on the Guardians. You don't like their moves.
I'm piling on right now.
You are.
I'm
going to give you a
number
personal
three
foul
hitter this year for the Colorado Rockies. Oh, yeah. He was in that system, and they let him go because they need to give starts to Will Brennan and Esteban Florial.
All right.
Sorry.
Personal foul, Jay. Piling on. Giving him the business.
Giving him the business. Take that, Cleveland. Sorry. San Diego, the Blue Jays of the National League. They lost Juan Soto. That's not going to help. That's not going to make your lineup any better. It's still a good lineup. It's still a good team, but this is the team that underperforms its potential and just keeps on doing it, right? I think the Jays might be able to ascend some of that. I don't know if the Padres can do that. Like that rotation, that's a really solid rotation that they've put together, especially 1 through 3 with Darvish, Musgrove, and Dylan Cease. And then they traded for Michael King in the Soto deal, and he's going to get a rotation spot. Back into the bullpen's okay. So, I mean, the Padres are aight, but this team should be way better than that, and they're not, and that's what's frustrating about them.
Well, they went for being way better the last couple of years.
They tried.
And it didn't work out, and now it feels like they quit trying. It really feels like they quit trying to contend. How do you acquire a young stud like Juan Soto at his age and then deal him a couple of years later? How do you do that?
Yeah. If it doesn't work out, then don't you just blow the whole thing up and start over? And they're not doing that either.
Yeah, they're kind of slow imploding, like, yeah, they didn't blow the whole thing. Right.
Yeah.
They didn't even try to keep the Cy Young winner, Blake Snell. Right. They added some guy that a contender could really use. But instead of doing that, you could have just held on to the Cy Young Award winner, Blake Snell, and they just chose not to do that. So.
Yeah. So, yeah, we don't get this team at all, and don't really care for them. You've got the Diamondbacks second. I have them third, and you went first. I'll let you talk about last year's NL champs.
Well, Corbin Carroll spearheads a lineup that was much more dangerous last year than they should have been. They had no right to be anywhere near as good as that, but they came through. The big key is pitching for Arizona. I don't believe Merrill Kelly is all that, and Brandon Thott, whatever you pronounce his name. He's very iffy. He showed some sparks, but I think they're going to give him a chance to, you know, get the whole year and show what he can do. We'll see if he gains consistency. You know, no one's contending with the Dodgers. Everyone is finishing 15 games behind them, so it kind of doesn't matter 2 through 5. But yeah, Arizona's young and spunky, and like I said, those hitters probably are better last year than they should have been. So hopefully they don't completely implode and go back to the level that they might be, but. I like the potential of Gabriel Moreno is a potential all-star catcher.
Yep.
Lourdes Gurriel, I've always been a fan of since the Toronto days. They got some power there. Jock Peterson can always hit the long ball, so they're gonna win some slugouts. They're gonna win some 8-6 games down there in the desert.
Yeah, I get the sense with the Diamondbacks that they were that team that we talked about, the team that gets into the playoffs and then they get hot. But I don't know if they were ever really as good as their playoff run. And that's where I worry. Now, with that being said, I don't think it's a full, they fall flat on their face and they're just going to be awful this year. I do have them, the Giants, and the Dodgers all in the playoffs this year. So I do have this as another division where I have three teams making it. Yeah, but you're right. The rotation's it's okay, and there's some nice pieces in the lineup. Yeah, Corbin Carroll is an MVP caliber player. I think he will win himself at some point an MVP. He could be that good. I still never, ever going to believe in the power spike of Ketel Marte.
You're going to get another penalty for piling on because you've hated on Ketel Marte every show, I think, for the last three or four years.
Man, this guy, four
you
home runs.
You got to go with it eventually,
man. 30, but that year he hit the 30-something home runs in that juice ball year. What a joke. Nice defensive player, though. The lineup to me is where the weakness falls on this team. It's kind of a lineup full of guys, and I just don't know if they're as good as what the team that made the run to the World Series, and that was sort of a magical run for them that the Rangers just crapped all over. I'm not that excited about the Diamondbacks. I do have them, though, as a wild card team because I don't like a lot of the rest of the National League. Where I am impressed by the Giants. I know that seems like a surprising pick. The Giants looked like they were in quit mode, and then they just decided to start signing all these free agents. They go out and they get Blake Snell, one of the top, after Corbin Burns, one of the top pitching rotation, starting rotation free agents. They signed Matt Chapman. They've got, that defense is there. He's going to be able to hit. They go out and they get Jorge Soler in free agency. So I don't completely hate what the Giants have put together. They look like I said, before they signed all these players, I thought they were in full-on, quit rebuild kind of mode. But I think they've put enough together. They get Jordan Hicks also in that rotation. So the Giants kind of gobbled up a lot of quality in free agency, and there's enough, I think, that was already there that they'll have themselves a nice little season and finish second, a distant second to the Dodgers.
Do you really think Jordan Hicks is to be counted on? Like, how many years has he been the guy, and then the Cardinals had to give up on him and the Blue Jays had to give up on him? Like, they don't know if he's a closer. They don't know if he's a starter. They don't know if he's middle relief.
There's that nice thing, though, about going to the West Coast and playing all your games at night in relative anonymity.
Perhaps.
We see it a lot of these teams, like the Mariners and the Giants, a lot of these West Coast teams that just kind of quietly have good seasons and put things together, and then all of a sudden they sneak up on you and you look up and it's August and, oh, wait, they're only, a game out of the wild card hunt. Watch out for the Giants this year. They're going to be sneaky.
They do always win a lot of 2-0, 3-1 games out there.
Yes, they do.
and Blake Snell will add to that. But the offense is always a struggle. Jung Ho Lee from Korea at the top of the order. We'll see if he can spark any rallies. You mentioned Soler, who can bomb it. But I don't know if anyone can bomb it consistently out there. There's something about night games in San Fran. It's not just a mystery, or it's actual science that there's something about the air, how thick it is out there at night. It's really heavy, and it's really hard to score runs in that ballpark out there. Those unders for those late games, that's a chase that every gambler knows about. Is, oh, God, I'm losing on tonight. Let me just San Fran under.
And throw Giants are at home. Let me roll the under on that. Okay, that's fair enough.
Yeah. First five under, minus three.
Is this from personal experience?
Perhaps.
Okay.
Snell, big addition
Dodgers
to the rotation. But, yeah. Obviously, I mean, it's the Dodgers, you know.
Yeah.
They you know, they didn't need Shohei, but they added him anyway because they can, because they got the money. You know, they're lacking talent, so they had to add Shohei. No, they obviously, this lineup is ridiculous. The whole team is ridiculous. The Ipe Mizuhara thing is crazy. It's unresolved. It could be a big deal, but I bet it won't be. I bet they'll just do whatever they can to sweep it under the rug and act like they don't know. What are you talking about? What gambling scandal? I don't know what you mean. So that'll be gone away. That'll be disappeared like Effingham as soon as they possibly can. But it's a no skip lineup. You know, you got the no skip albums sure you have in your history that you have no skip albums. I have plenty of no skip albums that are so good you can't skip any of the songs. I think of Brown Sugar by D'Angelo, Controversy by Prince. No skip, just everything is just play it right through. That's a no skip lineup. Everybody in that lineup, even you know the nine hitter, even Gavin Lux, can be dangerous. And of course the rotation. Let's add Tyler Glasnow. Yeah, let's throw him in. We know he's not going to pitch very long. He's always a guarantee to get hurt as well. But all the people they got behind it: Bobby Miller, Gavin Stone, Walker Buehler's coming back in the middle of the year. It's just so deep, so much depth. And let's add a Japanese pitcher as well. Not Ohtani. He can't pitch this year. The other Japanese pitcher, Yamamoto. Let's add him as well. Come on.
Yeah.
It's too much.
Yeah. The only chink in the armor is this rotation to me. And that's a health issue because if you're relying on Glasnow and James Paxton for the time being, that could be a fool's errand that you're relying on. You know, 180 innings from these guys, you're not getting there. Most of these guys, you'd be lucky if you get to 100 to 150 innings, and they're gonna pummel so many people, and they're gonna have this thing all sewn up by probably September 10th. You know, that I don't think it's gonna be a big deal, and there's going to be guys coming back. You know, maybe Kershaw comes back, Walker Buehler should be coming back, because his Tommy John was a season and a half ago.
Yeah, so he'll be back pretty soon.
Yeah, he'll be back. So there's definitely, extra guys coming. But, man, that seems to be – and I'm not saying that this is going to hold them back. I've got the Dodgers easily winning this division because I'm not going to – nobody needs to break down that lineup. That is a murderer row 1-9. No easy
no
outs.
Skip.
You are correct. No skips. So, but I do worry a little bit about – being reliant on the health of that rotation.
I think
that
they get
rotation stays healthy. Oh Lord, that is going to be absolutely domination from the Dodgers.
Yeah, they got the guys coming back as far as pitching, like you said, Buehler and Kershaw and all those guys. They got enough guys coming back to fill in when Glasnow does hurt himself, and we know him and Paxton will eventually hurt themselves.
They will get hurt. It will happen.
I skipped over the American League East, I believe, for odds.
Ah.
So we'll backtrack really quick for that. This is gambling, so it's not about who's actually going to potentially contend. It's all about who's getting the most money put on them, right? Orioles and Yankees are tied for American League East. They're both plus 180.
Man,
I find that stunning.
How much can I fade the Yankees? Which is funny because we both have the Yankees finishing fourth. Now, is that just...
Right.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
We don't know. Maybe we're the asshole.
We're definitely the asshole. That's never in question. that's New York money. That's just New York fandom.
Okay.
Yankees! Blue Jays are plus 400. Rays are plus 575. That might be something you want to look into because they can always surprise. And the Red Sox bringing up the rear is plus 2,000. That is surprising to me. But we do both have them last.
We do.
And then as far as the NL West that we just broke down, Dodgers are the prohibitive favorite, minus 550 to win the NL West.
Ouch.
Totally understandable. Then the Giants plus 1,000. Diamondbacks right behind them plus 1,100. Padres right there as well plus 1,100. So they're tied. Then the Rockies plus 25,000. So there you go.
Well, they Steiner second in betting. All right.
It's really close. Those three are.
It is close. I can see the Giants again. The three teams in the middle of that division: the Giants, the D-backs, and the Padres. Not, I don't think, are going to be hugely separated.
I concur with that, but I just got everybody so far behind the Dodgers.
Yeah, no, the Dodgers are the cream of the crop. There, it just they are what we talked about. The Orioles, I think, they're a dominant team right now. I think in their division, where I don't know how anybody really contends with them.
All right, National League Central. Looks like I have a team that is not the betting favorite. It's really close, but at least we'll see how that shakes out. But I'm finally picking a team that's not the prohibitive favorite.
Prohibitive
so.
Favorite? Oh, wow. Okay.
No, there really is no prohibitive favorite in the NL Central. It's pretty jumbled up at the top. So we'll see if you agree with my order. One, your Cubbies, number one.
Oh, that hurt me.
Oh, you could tell. You could hear it in my voice. That really was like a
dagger.
Knife in the stomach. Yes. I am going Cubs, Brewers, Cardinals, Reds, Pirates. And I have the Brewers making the playoffs as a wild card.
Well, I will tell you now, this was probably the division that we are going to disagree on the most.
Wow, okay.
But not at the top. Because I, too, have the Chicago Cubs win the division. But then I'm going Cardinals, Pirates, Reds, Brewers.
Ooh, you are hating on the Brew Crew.
I am.
You're breaking up again. I'm not sure that's... I don't know if that's something on your end or not, but you've been breaking up a little bit the last couple minutes.
Am I back again?
Okay, you sound good now.
Okay, good. So I don't think the Brewer squad that we're talking about today is going to look anything like the Brewer squad that we're talking about after the trade deadline. I've got a feeling that after the moves that they've made and the pieces that they jettisoned, that this is just the beginning for this Brewer team. I think the tank is on in Milwaukee.
Hello?
Yeah?
Okay, you're cutting out again.
Okay, yeah, I say they're in tank mode after deadline, so
Not
a big fan of the Brewers this year.
The bettors agree with you, by the way. We both have the Cubs. They are not, by a very small margin, they are not the favorite to win the Central. The Cards are getting the most money, so they're plus 175. The Cubs are plus 190, so they're right there. Then the Reds are actually a surprising third at plus 350. Then the Brewers plus 750, and then the Pirates plus 1300. So I guess I'll talk about the Brewers, who I have finishing second, so definitely different from you. You're shipping off your staff ace in Corbin Burns. That was a shock, especially since the lineup is full of questions. I do love Rhys Hoskins joining them. I think that's a big power boost. They've had a lack of power there for a long time. I think potentially he could be a huge add, the power that they need. They get a tough blow in the back of the bullpen. Devin Williams broke his back. He fractured his back in several places.
Ow!
Yeah, doesn't sound like a good time, but I think they got the bullpen depth to cover that. I just think they have a way of playing. They have a style of playing. It's low scoring, and it's impactful hits, not so much big power. Like I said, they need someone like Rhys Hoskins to add the big power. But the guys that are still there, you talk about Yelich and guys like that, the way that they play is why I'm picking them to finish second. William Contreras and Adamas, they just got guys that know how to get on and get the kid Jackson Churio, give him a start out there, give him the chance to prove himself. So we'll see how it works out. I think it'll work out for them good enough, and they'll probably put some more young guys around him as the season goes on. Maybe I'll be dead wrong. Maybe they will sell off a lot as August approaches. But I think they'll contend. I think they'll be just good enough to stick around.
Yeah, So they trade Chris.
Yeah.
So that doesn't help. Their closer literally breaks his back. Jack Centurio, great. Going to be a great story. Could be NL Rookie of the Year for all we know. Willie Adames, I bet you, gone. He's great. This is where they're going to start. You're going to see this team start jettisoning pieces. They lost their manager. So we, you know, as much as I had
down to Chicago,
break,
your guy,
yes, go to the Cubs. As much as I had issues with him, having a front row seat to the way he managed with air on fire, like every game 7 of the series, he still pulled a ton of wins out of very mediocre squads, and I don't know if a new manager is going to be able to, you know, the magic same way that Craig Counsell did. So we get to see if the magic works with the Cubs this year. I have Brewers ticketed for DFL in the NL Central.
Mm. Well, definitely see that differently. I'm going more off, sort of off the culture or the way they play for the Brewers, I suppose.
I don't know where you would go next, because after we agreed on the Cubs and then the rest of this division was all over the place.
Yeah, the Brewers even behind the Pirates, huh?
Yeah, I don't hate with the Pirates. I had the Pirates third. I'm guessing since you had them fourth.
I had the Pirates fifth behind the Reds.
Oh, you had the Pirates last. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't hate the Pirates. There's some quality bats in this lineup. Get me some O'Neill Cruz and Cabrian Hayes and Jack Sawinski, the new Cub killer, who every time I would get alerts on my phone, Jack Sawinski was hitting a 3-run bomb against the Cubs. I don't hate what they're doing. They're starting the youth movement. We get to see if some of these players that they've brought in can contribute. The starting rotation is it's guys. It definitely is guys. Mitchell's a guy. Martin Perez is definitely a guy. He doesn't strike anybody out. We'll see what he can do. They're expecting things from this Jared Jones as a rookie. I'm hearing some good things about him on all the podcasts that I listen to about baseball, fantasy baseball. Solid bullpen, good Bednar and Chapman at the back end. So I don't hate the Pirates. I think they're going to be kind of sneaky fun this year.
Okay. I do not like the lineup. I think it's O'Neill Cruz and dudes.
Dudes? I get it. Brian Reynolds. Don't forget Brian Reynolds. Cause
yeah, he's pretty good.
He's a dude too. But he's a dude in a good way.
To me, the biggest thing to watch for Pittsburgh is when they're going to bring up Paul Skeens and his 102-mile-an-hour fastball. I don't really see too much else to wait for or look at with them besides O'Neill Cruz, and if he's going to come back from injury and do what he looked like he was capable of doing when he first came up.
But we're talking about all this stuff. I don't have anybody past the Cubs making the playoffs out of this division.
Okay.
So there's that.
A lot of discussion about a lot of teams that we'd have in the soup.
Yes, this is definitely soupy after you get past. For us, for the team that's not even the prohibitive, betting favorite. I've got the Reds in fourth. You've got the Reds third?
I got the Reds in fourth. I guess we agreed on the Reds.
We agreed on the Reds. So we agreed on the Cubs. We agreed on the Reds. The Reds, to me, we talk about fun bad teams in football. Like the Arizona Cardinals, and we've had some. I like me some fun bad baseball teams, and man, are the Cincinnati Reds the epitome of baseball fun bad? They are going to be fun to watch. They're young, they're energetic, and they're going to lose a hell of a lot of ball games.
They're going to lose them 9-6.
Yeah, they're going to do the Yankee thing. They're going to lose. They're going to score a lot of runs, and you're going to get to watch Ellie De La Cruz and all these young guys, and all these young guys who keep getting hurt. Matt McClain's hurt, TJ Friedel's hurt. So there's definitely some injuries to start the season. They have nice pieces though. Hey, they've got Will Benson. I bet you there's a team that could have used him.
Are we piling on again?
Damn. Sorry.
I already got one foul.
That is absolutely loaded for position players. I mean, they have a just cornucopia of position players that they can tap into, and they're going to score a lot of runs, and it's going to be a fun team to watch at times this season and they are going to be completely undermined by their pitching staff, because I don't trust anybody on the mound for the Cincinnati Reds.
I pretty much concur with everything you've said about the Reds. The lineup is very young and very fun. Ellie De La Cruz seems to be the leader and the future star for them. But I like Spencer Steer a lot, too. He's very productive. And Christian Encarnacion Strand, I'm going to be watching him to see if he can take advantage of his chance. He got a chance last year, didn't do much with it, but I think he's got potential. Those pitchers, I actually love the arms of Hunter Green, Graham Ashcraft, Andrew Abbott. They get hit too much. They throw too many strikes. They're, you know, some guys
okay.
are too
You're
too
in the zone
have too much
too
control.
Much. Okay.
Right. So that they're jackmasters, unfortunately. So that's their
Cincinnati
problem.
Doesn't help that. You don't want to be jackmasters
right.
pitching in that ballpark.
If you don't keep it down, everybody is a jackmaster in that park. So Frankie Montas, welcome to the club, and he's going to join right along with them and be a jackmaster. So. But, yeah, they will be fun. Yeah, I concur.
So I'm guessing that means that we poo-pooed on the betting favorite, which I'm guessing is the St. Louis Cardinals.
Right.
And we're both a little down on them. So I'm curious what you think of that.
Well, starting off, being that I'm going to be seeing a lot of Redbirds games down here in Memphis, I can't help but be excited. It just seems like it's not – I don't know if I'm biased being watching so many Redbirds games, but it seems like that's the organization, right, that always has the young guys down there that you just wait till June, July. They're going to bring up all these guys. So I can't help but be excited. Victor Scott II and Lucan Baker and Jared Young, they're going to have all these people come up and play eventually. So I'm looking forward to that. What I'm worried about is Nolan Arenado and Paul Goldschmidt both look like they were really – fading last year. Like they both look like they were on the bad side of their careers, and it came quick.
And Wilson
they were,
Contreras.
Well, he was always kind of, on the downside after he left the Cubs.
Yeah.
But those two were MVP candidates a few years ago, and all of a sudden they both look old. And that's what I'm worried about. They may turn it around and have resurgence, but they may not. And if they don't come back, that they're in real trouble. That's what I'm worried about. With the Cardinals, that the pitching's fine. Sonny Gray is hurt already, but he's really good. But I'm worried about those two MVP candidates that look like they were anything but MVP candidates last year.
Yeah, and injuries already in the lineup. Lars Nootbaar's hurt. Dylan Carlson's hurt. We'll see how that affects them. So that means you're going to have to try to get meaningful starts from some guys who might not be used to it. It looks like Victor Scott broke camp, which is interesting because they've got him right now penciled in the lineup. I don't know if the injuries hadn't hit, if he would have already have been up, but we'll see. You don't want to get old and get old fast. We saw that with the Tigers. I remember we talked about the Tigers when that window shut on them, how hard it was to watch. And you feel like with some of these Cardinals players,
Miguel Cabrera, yeah.
Yeah. Or that whole squad. That team just got old and got old quick, and they went from being World Series contenders to it was over. And it was over, and it was ugly, and it was quick. And, the Cardinals feel like they're there every year. They're always well coached. There's a lot of talent on the team. But we both have the Cubs ahead of them. And, they talk about a team that made a surge. And only with one game out of making the playoffs, and that was only because of an awful stretch at the end where they lost a chunk of games that last week when it looked like they had things sewn up to get in. And it probably got their coach fired. I was never a David Ross guy. As much as, like I said, I've had issues with Council and the way he manages, but that's a huge upgrade over David Ross. And that's a lineup that's, they brought Cody Bellinger back. That's a fun lineup. There's some speed. There's power. I'm interested to see what this kid they got from the Dodgers is Michael Busch, giving him a full-time gig. Interested to see what he can do. Guy's apparently got just a massive amount of power. Solid rotation. They get Imanaga, the other Japanese big free agent that came over after Yobu. Oh, God. Yeah, him. It's late.
I didn't think you were going to make that at that at this stage of the show.
Yobu.
Oh, you still try.
I'll get there. I'm not looking at it right now. But yeah, I like the rotation. I like the bullpen. If Alzolay's not there, they've got guys, you know, like Hector Neris. There's people who've done it in the past that you can bring in, and I'm most interested to see about the dynamic of what they get with the change at the manager position. I think that, you know, a team that just missed out on making the playoffs, was a solid squad last year, great defensive team, and what they can do, I think it's enough to push them over the top and be the only team to come out of the Central.
Yeah, that's the thing with the manager. He doesn't have to do all that much. They're already set at all these positions. They're already so strong up the middle defensively. Cody Bellinger is the key. That's why I picked him one. Returning to anchor that potent lineup, nice contact up and down the order. They, like you said, they add Shota Imanaga from Japan to lengthen that rotation, which, you know, I worried about it behind Justin Steele, so I don't think Kyle Hendricks is any good. And those other kids are unproven. But putting Shota there is really – you know, makes it longer, makes it, you don't have to rely on the bullpen every night. And you called Azalea, you said he'd be the man in the closer role by the end of last year. And that's exactly what he is. So he's a team leader. He's one of those guys that apparently, from what I'm reading, he really holds down that locker room. He's thought of very highly. And I think they got a real nice culture there, and yeah, I think they're back. They're back at the top of the division. So we agree with that.
And talk about an interesting way to retool, you know, after winning the title, going through a couple of, you know, contending years, and then watching that whole thing blow up, and then got rid of basically everybody that were all the anchor pieces that helped them win that World Series, and none of those guys have really gone on to any extended success. It's just very strange to see that. And look like they could be back with in a totally different way this time, with more of a mix, not all homegrown. There's a few of those guys there, but they're not doing it. So like, they're not the Rays where they're just taking, your outcasts and outcasts, but interesting the way that they're putting this thing together. And yeah, I think there's some good things ahead. I think that they, get into the 90s this year for wins, and that's probably enough to win that division.
Yeah, that's where I see him, about 92, 93, yeah.
Yeah, all right.
We did the odds, so that just leaves the NL East, and we have more than 5 minutes, so that's good. We're doing better than normal.
We are getting better at this thing, I guess.
It only took us 11 years.
Yeah.
My NL East, 1 through 5. Obviously Atlanta. Atlanta,
yes.
Philadelphia, Miami, the Mets, and then Washington.
All right, we haven't been kumbaya once tonight. That's a good thing, but we're pretty close. I've got the Mets and the Marlins flip flopped, and that's it. And it's not even that could be a 3 and a 3A. I think that the Braves and the Phillies are the top two, clearly the top two, and that the Nats are clearly the worst. And then you can do anything you want to with the Mets and the Marlins. after that, I do have the Phillies as the wild card. So that means that I have, like I said, no wild card in the Central. And then I've got the Phillies coming out in the NL East, and then the two other teams from the West coming out. But we both hate the Nats, and who doesn't?
Right. By the way, I did not learn one lesson from last year. I was trying to give Miami some credit with the pitching last year. I did not have them in the playoffs, but I was trying to at least. Yeah, so I didn't learn my lesson. I had two teams getting a wild card from the NL East last year. I've got two teams in the wild from the NL East getting a wild card again this year. I've got the Phillies and the Marlins.
Actually. Oh, okay. You're trying my move.
Last year.
Almost.
Yeah?
Did they make it or no?
No.
It was close, though. They were in it till the end.
Right. When they finished last year. Oh, they did make it. 84 and 77.
Did.
They did get the wild card. You're right.
Okay. All right. So yay me.
You picked the Mets as well, so that didn't go so well.
No,
I did too. So, and as far as the odds, the Braves are the clear favor, -275. I'm shocked they're that low. And then Philly is +325. Then the demarcation from there: Mets +1200, Marlins +2200, Nationals +$10,000.
Wow! So the betting odds have my exact order. Okay, great.
Okay. And it was, that always works out, right?
No.
Hashtag sarcasm. So Atlanta number one. We can get that out of the way off the top. That's yet another one of those no-skip lineups that just bludgeon everybody. So them and the Dodgers just beating everybody 10-1 all year.
They're pretty good.
They're not bad. They need Max Fried to rebound back to what he was a few years ago so that Spencer Strider isn't the only starter going six innings on that team. That's the biggest concern with them. The lineup is not a concern at all. That's not the issue.
But Strider, Fried, Charlie Morton still getting it done. They signed Chris Sale, or they traded for Chris Sale, I should say. That lineup,
yeah, that's,
boy.
That's what I mean. Those guys can't possibly go more than five, either one of them.
No, but any weakness that you have in that rotation, okay. That lineup is just obscene.
Destroys everybody.
Yeah, it's nuts. Find the hole, you know, even the bottom where you're thinking, okay, these guys are no good. They still have guys that can leave the yard that don't necessarily, they're not going to hit 197. They're pretty well loaded all the way to bottom.
The hole is Jared Kelnick, who might hit 197, and he also might hit 297 and become an all-star.
I don't know ever what you're going to get out of Jared Kelnick. Getting him out of Seattle, though, you know, sometimes that change of scenery. He was that big prospect who never really hit the way he was supposed to. Oh, now he's on one of the best teams in baseball.
That's kind of my point. Post-hype guy that, you know, he might go off in Atlanta with a second chance. So you never
know. How many times have we seen it?
Oh, over and over again.
Yeah. Guy that everybody forgot about. Oh, I forgot about Jared Kelenic. And there he is at the bottom of that order, just raking.
Just taking,
where he doesn't have to be the guy.
Just taking Eddie Rosario's place, hitting huge homers when you try to, you know, when you least expect it. Try to pass and walk everybody else and get to Kelenic, and then he just hits a grand slam on you or something. Just,
yeah.
It's going
to
happen.
Okay. Well, that's easy to agree on. The Braves are really good.
Yes.
And so are the Phillies. You almost willed the Phillies in last year.
That's right.
You had that, and they got so hot late, and in the playoffs they got hot, but they just couldn't get there. And I'm glad they didn't.
Game 7 at home to get to the World Series, and you blow it. That's on you.
I'm glad they didn't, because I never would have heard the end of it. So.
And I had some money riding on it, too. Oh, man.
That's why they didn't do it.
Exactly. But, yeah, we both got them coming back and making the playoffs.
Yes.
So same lineup pretty much from last year. To go Mano Yamano versus the Braves all summer. They're going to bash everybody else and then bash each other.
Not as good, not as talented in the lineup, but still – they're going to beat up on inferior opponents with no issues at all. And in this division, there's a lot of those.
Mm-hmm. So a whole year of Bryce Harper this time. They could get pitching help from the minors. There's a kid, Mick Abel, if he's able to locate his stuff, he might bring some help later in the season. They need to shore up behind their closer, Jose Alvarado. I think he's good enough to be the full-time guy, but if he doesn't work out, I don't like the guys that are behind him. I don't think their depth is very good.
Yeah, because who was there? Was that Kimbrel last year?
Right. Now he's gone.
So, yeah, that you know, and even though Kimbrel hasn't been what, you know, he's not what he used to be, he was still good enough and definitely an upgrade over what they have in the back end there, and I think that's probably, when you look at that, why, you know, people are going to have them as a solid second. I still think that the Braves win this by at least a half a dozen games, maybe more.
Right.
But the Phillies, I mean, but that's because the Braves are probably in line to win 100, 102 games. I mean, the Phillies, you win 95, you're still 7 games back.
And it's interesting, kind of the flip-flop in the rotation as far as the ace, because Aaron Nola was the guy for so many years as the ace.
Yeah.
And now Zach Wheeler, just through sheer domination, or I guess I've combined sheer and pure because it's late, through sheer domination has become the ace of that staff because he's just become that damn good. And, you know, the Mets could use him right now.
Yeah, I'm surprised he wasn't on the Cleveland. That's
again, piling on.
I'm piling on the Indians tonight. I'm oh, wait, oh, drink.
Uh-oh. Oh, take a drink.
Drink.
Got to put a coin in the swear jar. That's a swear word now.
Oh, man.
So we like the Phillies, but not as much as the Braves. And then you said we flip-flopped the Mets and Marlins?
Mets and Marlins, yeah. But to me, it could be – it's a horse apiece either there. I don't think the Mets are bad. I had them as maybe last place last year or pretty close to it. I thought they were a really bad team. And they're still going to be pretty bad, but there's good offensive pieces on that team. Pete Alonso's a beast. Lindor's good.
Now, you picked them as a wild card last year.
They did.
You picked them as a wild card last year.
I did. Okay.
Yeah.
So, hey, maybe I'm still a little high on them. I just don't have them making the playoffs this time, though.
Right. Yeah, I don't either. The rotation takes them out of contention to me.
Edwin Diaz, it is guys.
He can't play his trumpets and close if you're always trailing. You know what I mean? You can't. You got a great closer, but if you don't have a lead, then it doesn't really matter. You know, when your ace is Jose Quintana at this stage of his career, like that's no good. You know, adding J.D. Martinez helps make the offense more potent. That's good. That's a good help. But I don't like the pitching. I love Ghost Fork, but again, arm injury. So who knows how long he's going to be out? Kodai Senga.
Yeah. Strained shoulder. At least it's not an elbow.
Yeah, at least it's not an elbow.
It's not elbows or forearm tightness. That's what you don't want to see.
But yeah, but they're relying on Quintana and Luis Severino, who used to be good with the Yankees 5 years ago. And,
no, I was
Tyler
right with
Beagle.
Quintana. Yeah, with those guys like Minaya, Severino, Quintana. Boy, these were really – this would be an awesome team 5 years ago.
A lot of guys who used to be highly projected, yes.
And the Marlins. I won't go bold prediction and say that Luis Arraez won't hit 400 this year.
Oh, that's another pile on. That's my guy. I love Arraez. I was mad I couldn't draft him this year.
He was absolutely great. If you like a guy who's going to get, you know, 170 to 200 hits, and all of those except for five are going to be singles.
he's got a great hitter's eye. Great hitter's eye.
There's nothing wrong with being a great contact hitter. You know, he just doesn't do much else.
Not a lot of power. I understand.
But they're fun. You know, Jazz Chisholm's going to be he's a nice, young, up-and-coming player. We'll see what the corpse of Tim Anderson can do for them. I mean, it can't be worse, right?
Oh, he fell off. He really fell off. So he's part of the reason I'm picking the Marlins to make the playoffs. I got a feeling he's not going to squander the second chance that he's got. I think he's going to come back and be pretty good. I think he's going to form a very exciting infield duo with Jazz Chisholm. I think those two will be fun just watching them play baseball. You know, at the plate and in the field. I think there's just going to be a joy in Miami watching them two. And I like AJ. Is it Puke or Puck? I never figure out how to pronounce him.
It's Puck.
And Jesus Luzardo, that's a power duo from the left side. Too many injuries behind them to move them up more. Like if they still had, you know, Sandy Alcantara and those guys, I think
man,
even higher.
Yuri Perez, elbow inflammation.
Yeah.
Sandy, TJ, Edward Cabrera, all these guys. I mean, that again, it's not like with the five Rays guys where you had a whole rotation of studs, but this is half a rotation of studs.
Right. Yeah. Start if they had there. Those guys, I'd like them even more.
Yeah. So. No, if that pitching was intact, they could really make a playoff push, but I think they come up Them and the Mets come up just short this year.
And
are you saying Tim Anderson's going to have more than one homer and 520 at bats?
He better.
Man.
He better.
Have we seen, is that one of the biggest fall-offs ever?
Yeah, I would not have predicted that. Everybody slumps, but he had basically had a 5-month slump. And he couldn't break it.
Most players, give him credit for being that established. They kept throwing him out there every day. Like, today's the day, Tim.
He's an MVP candidate all these years, and then last year just lost it.
It just was never the day. So, yeah, it's got to get better for him.
Yeah, hopefully. The Nationals, the terrible pitching will always doom them. Their ace, I'm using the scare quotes, their ace is Josiah Gray. Like, come on. So.
They're bad. A few fun pieces. Yeah. Every team has a few good players, but the Nats are pretty terrible, and I'm sure people are going to be siphoning off of them come end of July.
Yep. C.J. Abrams will make a nice Yankee.
Yes.
All right. So, and I already did that order. I did. Okay. As far as betting odds.
Yeah.
So I can scroll up to the actual World Series odds, and we can give our champions. We actually have time to do that without having to rush.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you who your what the odds are on your pick and on my pick, and we'll see how we stack.
I always do my ALCS and my NLCS. So in the AL, I have the Astros going over the Orioles to go to the World Series. Just too much experience. They've been there before, been there, done that. Orioles might be 1 year too soon, but sometimes that 1 year too soon team makes it. But the Orioles, they fight and they claw, but the Astros experience does them in. And I have the Dodgers over the Braves in the NLCS. So that gives us the Dodgers and the Astros. Boy, who do you hate more, folks? I'm going to take the Dodgers to go all the way, and I'll tell you why, because this is the 1 year that we don't have to deal with the sideshow, and then Shohei goes to L.A., and this is my bold prediction. He gets his one and only title, because once the sideshow starts, the Dodgers are done. So they better win it this year, because if he doesn't, they ain't winning it.
Well, you are definitely on record as saying that Shohei pitching is a detriment for whatever team and not an addition, even though he pitches
right.
As
so a full
well
year
as anybody.
Of his, full year of his bat, no sideshow, no temptation to blow up your rotation. They are going to win the title this year and then not win another one with him.
Wow. Okay.
Unless they give up on the sideshow. And you just can't quit the system. Can't quit him, man.
Is this not a different sideshow with this gambling stuff? Again,
well,
I think they'll make it go
over.
Away.
That'll blow over, yeah. This will be – nobody's going to be thinking about this once the games start.
Right. So my picks for the – I got to be completely honest. I've been so busy, I hadn't made my picks yet. I'm doing that right now as I look over my playoff picks. I barely got all the rest of this research done to figure out who I was actually picking in the divisions. I think I'm going to trust the Orioles, not just because of what they already have, but because of who they're going to add at the deadline. But like I said, they got all those pieces. They're going to move and they're going to fortify their team for the playoffs. So I will take the Orioles to win the American League pennant over the Twins. I'll be contrarian there and say Minnesota makes it to the ALCS.
That would be so.
In the National League, I'm with you. I don't know who's going to beat up the Dodgers or the Braves because they beat everybody up. So I just got LA over Atlanta in the NL as well. LA's got too many weapons, too much firepower. Usually you can't buy a title, but I think when you keep adding great pieces, not just good pieces, but, I mean, it's Shohei Ohtani. He's unbelievable. Yep. Just hitting, he's not going to be able to do the pitching. I think that's an addition when he pitches, not a detriment, you'd think otherwise, but just a hitter, just to add him at the plate and the damage that he does up there. I will take the Dodgers also to win the World Series over the Baltimore Orioles.
So we both agree.
You both have the LA Dodgers winning the World Series. The LA Dodgers, no surprise, are the favorites to win the World Series. They are plus 350. I think that's too short. I would not put money on plus 350 at the beginning of a season because it's baseball. There's no way you know.
There's way too much that can happen.
Yeah,
way too much.
Way too much. The Braves are plus 450 right behind them. That's way too short for a second pick. That's crazy. After that, the Astros plus 800. Now we're more in line with good odds as far as I'm concerned if you're actually going to bet the stuff. The Yankees are the fourth pick to win the World Series at plus 900. That's insane.
Can I fade that? can I get some fade odds?
That is absolutely insane. I'm sure there are fade odds somewhere on this website, but there's so many prop bets I can't sort through all of them right now.
I want to bet the Yankees not to win the World Series.
Then the Orioles, the Rangers, the Phillies are all in the plus 1,300 to plus 1,500 range to win the World Series. But, yeah, that's shocking to see the Yankees up that high. If Gerrit Cole wasn't hurt, what would they be ahead of the Astros? Because they're right behind the Astros right now.
So if Gerrit Cole was healthy, would they still be ahead of the Orioles to win that division?
Would they still be ahead of them?
Yeah.
They'd be more ahead of the Orioles, right?
Wait, are they ahead of them right now?
Yeah. Well, they're ahead of them in the World Series odds. They're plus 900.
No, I meant
the
division odds even.
Okay. Were they ahead of them in the division? I have to scroll all the way back down to the division.
I don't remember. That was at least an hour ago.
There's so many prop bets to scroll back down to see the God, now I'm in a gold glove. How did I get all the way down there? Okay, I went past the division odds because I'm now in the gold glove, so I got to scroll back up to get back to the division. American League East. Orioles and Yankees, they're tied. They were tied at plus 180 for the division.
Okay, just crazy. That's why, because I would have paid them too.
Right, but for the World Series, the Yankees are way ahead of the Orioles. So, yeah, if Gerrit Cole is healthy, they should be plus 800 or plus 700. They should be ahead of the Astros.
Yeah,
because they're plus 900 now, and their ace is a complete mystery. I don't understand that at all. But that's just all that New York money coming in. Got to bet the Yankees; they're gonna come back.
Well, it's just so much fun because in 4 days we have a fantasy draft, and we get to see what some of this all how this all comes out in the wash, what some of these guys go for.
Mm-hmm. That's always fun to figure all that out. So 3 days you'll be driving down, and I'll be flying up to Chicago. We'll be getting ready for our big fantasy draft.
Yeah, it'll be Saturday morning, and it'll be a wild and it goes by in a flash, but what's good 6-7 hours and trying to get that roster filled up and everybody, playing the game and bidding on these guys and who do you want to get left with or who do you want to leave on somebody else or, the gamesmanship that all goes on, the game within the game. I love it. So
is your family staying holed up in a hotel room while you do that? Or are they going to go out and do some shopping or something?
I think that's what they're going to do because, we can't really do that on Sunday because that's Easter. Most things are closed. So, yeah, they're going to be out and about doing stuff while we're at the draft. And then I'm sure afterwards we'll all figure out a place to meet up with them.
Okay.
So that'll be fun.
And then we're trying to figure out the logistics of when I fly up there to Chicago on Friday and where you're going to wait for me to traverse across the city on the train again or where you're going to actually come out to the Midway Airport.
I still haven't decided.
Okay.
I think we're leaning towards just coming down there and getting you, but I think it depends just on what time we get into town, what the traffic is looking like, because what it's like trying to get across that city, in that evening time rush.
I understand. I guess I'm thinking back to when you dropped me at the airport last year, how much faster of a drive that was than you anticipated. But of course, that Sunday morning track, which is totally different
than
Friday evening.
I think we were driving in there at 5 o'clock in the morning.
It was early. I don't know if it was
early.
Maybe 6:30 or so.
Yeah, there was nobody on the roads.
Right.
That morning. That was a flash.
Right.
But that's on the Sunday morning.
Yeah, that's different. I understand.
Yeah, that's not a Friday. That's not a Friday night when everybody's out on a Friday night. But we'll see. I think it just depends on where we're at and how I feel about getting across that city.
Okay.
But I'll let you know.
We'll get all that figured out. We got a few days to figure all that out. Thankfully, the weather will not be an issue.
Weather it won't be an issue. Yeah, we're not going to have tornadoes this year like we had last year.
That's a good thing. I'm not going to go on about my experience at the March Madness, but I will say I was there at one of the craziest finishes and one of the craziest games of the tournament and one of the crazier games in recent memory. As Houston against Texas A&M, where it was the last game on Sunday night, and it looked like time had run out with A&M down three, but they called a jump ball and put a second on the clock. And 1 second, that's enough time to pass and shoot, and that's exactly what happened. They passed it to a guy who at the top of the three-point circle, and he let it go, and the horn sounded, and the ball went splash right through the net, and the place went absolutely apeshit crazy, and it was unbelievable. I actually found some random guy on Facebook was shooting the video live as it happened, so I can see myself very, very briefly in his shot as everybody's going crazy. And my reaction, I didn't remember or know what my reaction was at the time. But apparently, my reaction was I could barely see myself with my hand on my head. In my mouth will be like, oh my God. So that was my reaction to it. But yeah, that was an unbelievable moment. March Madness wrapped up pretty much in that one moment. I'm so happy that I got the opportunity to experience that and to work the games. It wasn't perfect. I knew I wasn't going to be perfect working those games and getting those stats. Cause I'm not experienced at it. I miss steals. I miss assists. They kept updating me and sending me stats in the timeouts. They kept having to text me stuff, and I got better with every game, but it was rough. It was very fast paced. As soon as the first ball tipped, here they go. It's definitely the most fast paced to keep up of all the sports between baseball and football. It was a lot to go through, but it all worked out in the end. We got the stats. I think I did it as well as I could do, and that's about all you can ask.
And the check cleared, right?
It has always cleared from that company going back in the past, and I'm sure it will in the future. I think the payroll is such that I'll get that money next Friday, I believe.
All right, well then that's all. That's what counts.
Yes, I'm not doing this for free.
Yeah. Oh God, could you imagine that?
It was a fun experience. All right, the only other logistics as far as the show goes is to let, which I already let you know on text, and to let everybody else know that Jerry the Wrestling Expert is back on board. He says he will be ready to go next Monday. When we get back from the draft, we'll have those goings-on and those stories in the after show. But our next show is scheduled for next Monday night. It's coming Monday night. For the WrestleMania preview right after the go-home version of Monday Night Raw. So Monday, April Fool's Day, April the 1st, at 10 p.m. Central, 11 p.m. Eastern, we will have your WrestleMania 40 preview, and I'm sure we'll talk about all the happenings in WWE, not just WrestleMania, but, of course, the ongoing culture of perversion and sexual deviance that resulted eventually in Vince McMahon being finally ousted from WWE. We'll talk about all that, I'm sure.
I'll get myself my crash course on Monday night. I won't be able to watch, but I can. I got a knack now of following on the socials and reading up on things. And sometimes that's even more informative because you get to read the comments and stuff.
Right. You get the people's opinions and thoughts about the direction that everything is going, which is, especially helpful for someone like you who hasn't been watching all year. So you get to sort of catch up on everything as the lead up to WrestleMania goes on.
Yeah, but I've always equated it to a soap opera, you know, where you can go a year and not watch a soap opera and then watch one episode and you're all caught up.
Pretty much.
That's what wrestling is. So I didn't realize it was so soon, but yeah, we went from our after the season break from football to we're just rapid fire right now with these shows.
And it's spread out as well as it could be. It's not like a couple of years ago we had to go rapid fire like two and 3 days in a row.
Right.
With back-to-back shows. At least we're doing it once a week or so. So that's good.
Well, we go through 2 hours of the baseball preview to both settle on the Dodgers. Both got there in different ways, though, and mine was sort of a backhanded compliment to the Dodgers saying that you better win it now because this is it.
When Shohei pitches again, you think there's no way they're going to win.
It's not a problem. I don't dislike Shohei Ohtani as a pitcher. I dislike the disruption that the teams put themselves through to accommodate him, and I never thought it did the Angels any benefit, and I don't think in the future it's going to do the Dodgers any benefit, that the show, the sideshow, as I call it, becomes more important than the W's and the L's.
Okay, you're on record with that.
The Angels proved me right a lot.
I think the Angels would have found a way to lose no matter what. They're the Angels.
I know. I'm just saying. But I'm just thinking that becomes a distraction. And, you know, and there's enough strength, I think, in the National League that could be what tips the scales to a team like the Braves or, you know, one of these other up-and-comers. So we'll see. That's a 2-year prediction now. I'm just focused right now on 2024.
Yeah, you're pulling one of my numbers, trying to predict things way in the future.
Well, I just called the Dodgers one and done with Shohei.
Yeah.
That's going to take a while to bear out.
We'll see if they get the one. It's not, you know, a shortcoming of the Dodgers if they don't get it. It's just, it's baseball, and baseball is so random. Yeah. That's why we love it.
Would either one of us be shocked if the Braves were in the World Series instead of the Dodgers? No.
No. Would not be shocked. But we were both shocked with the Diamondbacks and the Rangers last year. But
that
happened.
That was surprising.
Just like that happened. Yeah.
Yeah, so. And good for the Rangers. They earned it.
The world champion Texas Rangers. You talk about things I never thought I'd say. But there you go.
And one of the lowest rated World Series ever.
And they earned it because it's the Diamondbacks and the Rangers. Come on. This is
that was – that. I didn't watch.
Well, I did, but not too many others did. But, you know, they got the rings and you can't take it from them, right?
I do remember watching some of the playoffs when we were in Florida last year on vacation because some of the restaurants we'd go to would have the games on. It was actually really cool because one of the places that we went to, this huge shrimp place in Destin, had outdoor seating overlooking this big open area open air bar with the game on a giant projector screen, like movie theater size screen. It was really cool.
Oh, that sounds good.
But we're up
sweet.
Elevated eating outside up above this giant outdoor bar. And then they've got the game projected on basically a movie theater size screen at the back of this outdoor bar. That was fun. And that was the Diamondbacks were playing. I think that was Diamondbacks and Phillies. We're playing.
Yeah.
When we were there, does that sound right?
Right. The game 7 that the Phillies had at home and had it in their hands and just choked it away. Yeah.
I don't remember if it was that game in the series.
Okay.
But
might not have been game 7. Okay.
It was one of them. I don't remember if it was game 7, but it was one of the games in that series. But I'd watch a lot of more sports if more bars like that were around because that place was incredible. And it was the best shrimp I've ever had in my life.
Ah. You're in Florida. You're going to get great seafood, of course.
On the Gulf, It was amazing.
The one only thing, other thing I wanted to mention about the tournament that I was at, just because I want to mention it before I forget it, I guess the Nebraska fans have a reputation for being wild and rowdy or whatever. Oh, my God. The four games on the first day are split up into two games for each session. They call them sessions. And for session one, when that ends, when the second game of the day ends, that's the end of session one. Everyone has to clear the arena and wait outside. If you're coming back for game two, you have to get out of the arena anyway. You have to wait outside for them to open the doors and let you in for session two. So we clear out. I'm sitting outside waiting for them to open the doors. Took them about an hour, and it's raining, which I wasn't happy about that, but, you know, what are you going to do? That line of fans waiting to get in for game three. Game three was Nebraska. I forget who they were playing, but they got their ass beat, thankfully. But Nebraska, oh, where I had this. Here's the sheets. Oh, by the way, yeah, the sheets. Woo, Auburn, poor Auburn. Oh, my.
Man. Wow. Hey, Houston's still in it.
Yeah. I had that happen to me one year. Somebody I picked to win it all, and they lost in the first game. And I'm like, oh, come on. Probably Michigan State or
it
something
doesn't
like that.
Help. It doesn't help when one of your starting five elbows a dude to get ejected. I knew it was over at that point when I saw that.
Yeah.
5 minutes into the game that one of their starting five just runs down the court and elbows a guy and gets thrown right out of the game. Cause it was pretty blatant. It wasn't, that was no ticky tack. It was just a cheap shot elbow that you thought nobody was going to see. These are on national TV.
Yeah. They have replays, guy. So yeah, that was Nebraska against Texas A&M was the third game. So the first game of the second session. So I'm sitting outside. The line of people waiting at the door went all the way out into the street, went all the way out in the Beale Street, and it was almost all Nebraska fans. And all you heard the entire time for the entire hour we're waiting is there'd be one leather lung in one part of the crowd that would go, "Go Big Red!" And then the rest of the crowd would get around them and go, "Go Big Red!" And that's all you heard for an hour was some leather lung, "Go Big Red!" And they just kept doing that over and over. It was a different leather lung. It just kept spreading around the crowd that was standing outside. And I'm like, oh my, it felt like a religious revival or something. It was scary, man. Those fans are absolutely out of their mind. It's like they've never been out of the house. It felt like it was the first time outdoors ever. And they've earned their reputation, that's for sure. And when they got inside, it felt like a fucking Nebraska home game. It felt like there was nothing but Nebraska fans in there. They had some Asian guy hitting threes and dancing and acting a fool, and they went absolutely batshit crazy every time he hit a shot. And it sounded like I was in Nebraska. It was that loud. We had to stand. Me and the guy doing the game had to stand up the entire first half because they were standing up, and we couldn't see. That's how crazy they were. They're standing the entire first half. And they probably would have stood the whole game if they weren't getting their ass kicked. Thankfully, A&M beat that ass, beat it by 20. And thankfully, they sat down in the second half because there's nothing to stand for at that point. But
right.
Nebraska fans, wow. I guess salute and shout out. And you guys really are that wild and crazy. You're also annoying as hell. And but, man, that was an experience.
Okay. Is this the first time you'd ever been to an NC2As? Okay. So it was something, huh?
Oh yeah, yeah. It was definitely an event. It was definitely something. I'm glad I attended. Very fast paced. Very glad I did it. And we'll never forget the Nebraska fans, and I'll never forget that second night with the crazy Texas A&M Houston game where they hit the shot to go into overtime. It just everybody went crazy. It was the last. Most people at work at my job didn't even know it happened because it was the last game of the night. It was like 10:30 at night when that happened. And to send the game to OT, and me and my partner just looking at each other like, oh my God, I can't believe that just happened. So yeah, great experience all around.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm ready. Right. I'm ready to call it. Tomorrow's a big day. I got work. I got to get up and work in the morning, and then I got to start working on all the baseball sheets because tomorrow's Declaration Day.
That's right. I keep going and nonstop. I had the my baseball draft yesterday after I got off of work. Then I got this baseball show tonight after I got off of work. And tomorrow I work in bowl. And then Thursday I finally have to stop after work so I can start packing because I leave town on Friday. Go, go, go.
Yeah, it's going to be a fast and furious week here.
It will. Fast and Furious weekend, and then we come back Monday and right back on the air for the WrestleMania preview show.
Wow. It'll be fun.
We'll be getting ready and looking forward to that. All right. Unless you have anything else, I think we're done here.
We are done.
All right. He is Jay. I am Dre. This has been the 2024 Baseball Preview Show. Hopefully you got all the baseball info that you could possibly be looking for. And if you didn't, you have to go somewhere else to find the rest of it. Again, we will be back this coming Monday, April the 1st, to preview WrestleMania 40, along with Jerry, the wrestling expert. And we will talk to you then. Everybody enjoy Baseball 2024.